For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Johnny. I lead the team here in Bognor. It's good to have you with us this morning. If you are new, like if it's your first time to Grace Church, you are very, very welcome. Don't run off without saying hello to people. Come and connect with us. We've got an info point at the back, or come and grab someone you've seen at the front. Just say hello to them. Hopefully they'll be really nice to you. We're beginning a new series this morning on the book of Habakkuk, and if you've not been at Grace Church, or you might have also been at Grace Church, all right, we've just finished a series on the heart of God. We've just finished that, and I hope you loved it. I hope it actually blessed you massively. We've gone into some deep theology, really. We've gone into some deep stuff, and you might have listened to the series, and you might have gone, oh, that's really inspired me. Wow, isn't God amazing? And hopefully it's renewed. My heart really is that it's renewed your love for Jesus, and that has happened and taught you something amazing about the truth of God. And I do pray that you felt that way. However, if we're being real, just for a minute, I think there'll be many people still with reservations. That you might be sat here going, well, if God is so wonderful, why? Why is what's happening in the Ukraine still happening? Why is there unrest in Israel and Gaza and Iran? You might even be politically inclined to say, why Trump? It's just the reality. And so we begin a series in Habakkuk this morning, and I want to be real with us. So some of the stuff today is quite hard-hitting, just facing some of the realities with each other, because Habakkuk was also very raw, and he was very real. And so just make us aware of that. The state of the world at the moment is pretty chaotic. And you know what? It has been for a while, right? We've just done a remembrance moment, haven't we? Like, that's because there was chaos, there was war. And we think, oh, that's been and gone. Do you know what? Since the 80-ish years since the Second World War, this is what we have witnessed. Not me personally, but some of it. Is fears of the Cold War. We've seen that come up. We've seen apartheid. We've seen a rise and a fall of apartheid in South Africa. We've seen the collapse of the Soviet Union. We've seen the spread of extremism and ISIS. We've seen waves of refugees flee from war. We've seen waves of refugees flee from famine and disaster. Here's some stats for you. The war in Sudan, 18,000 people have died already, and it's still ongoing. In 3.6 million people have left their homes in the Ukraine. 3.6 million. And in Ukraine as well, 14.6 million people are in need of humanitarian aid. The war in Gaza so far, 42,000 people have died. There's a growing threat of climate change. Right? There's been a global pandemic since the Second World War, and that's just exposed deep racial and social inequalities that we thought, oh, they're in the past, and yet they're still prevalent in our culture. Right? The world is in chaos. The world is in utter chaos, and it has been for a while. Nice positive start for you. Right? All the things I've just mentioned is generally on an international scale. That's on an international scale. Right? It's also prevalent in the UK. Just a trigger warning here. All right. Firstly, I'm not wanting to be political. That's not what I'm doing. Also, these are sensitive topics, and they might bring up some emotion, and we want to love you in that. So just share it with us. But also, there's no judgment in any of this either. I want you to know that. So just be aware. But in the UK, this is the scene of the UK. There is a rise in domestic abuser cases. There are over 2 million people in 2023 who experienced domestic abuse. There is a mental health epidemic. Did you know 30%, so nearly a third of girls, are going to face mental health issues between the age of 17 and 19? 30%. I've got 3 girls. One of those, just at least one of those, the stats would say. I pray that it's not, but the stats would say that. 75% of suicide is not children, is not young people, is male adults. 75%. There is exploitation with the poor and the vulnerable. There is 5,000 abortions a week in the UK. Over 50% of teenage pregnancies end in abortion. There is a government discussion about the bill of assisted dying, and nearly 80,000 people, and 28,000 of those have families, are homeless. Right? It makes sense for us to say, God might be gentle and lonely, but where is he? Where are you, God? Why is all this happening? Where are you, God? That's the scene. And I just want to pause for a moment. I'm just going to pray. Will you just pray with me? Lord, we pray for the situation nationally and internationally. We look at the world and we go, all we see is chaos. All we see is disaster. All we see is injustice. And God, we need you to break in. We need you to break through. Will you come, oh God? We call on you. Will you come and bring justice where justice is needed? Will you come and bring change where change is needed? Will you do it? God, we need you. We are so in need of you. Will you come? We pray. Amen. These stats are raw and they are painful, but they are nothing new. Right? These are nothing new. Today we're starting a new series in Habakkuk. And today, he's asking that very, very question. He starts off his book with that very question. And so, during this series, you might have some questions that arise. You might have some questions that come up during the series. You might want to know more about this book. And so, we're going to give space for that. We are putting an evening on together, and we're going to be looking at the book of Habakkuk together. We're also going to be looking at the Torah as well, so the first five books of the Old Testament. And it's going to be run by someone called Duncan Sills. And so, Duncan heads up our training in level one for commission. He has a master's in theology on the book of Habakkuk, so he knows it pretty well, all right? So that's why he's going to come and do that. If you do training, if you know somebody in the room who does level one training, talk to them. I hope they will say nice positive things about Duncan and encourage you to come. But I do encourage you to be at that evening on the 24th of November. It will be a good evening. We'll promote it a little bit more as we get nearer to the time. Well, it's not far away, actually, is it? We'll tell you about it again next week. And so we are in the book of Habakkuk. You might want to try and look for that now. It's a very small book. Some of you are going to be cheating because you're going to be on your phones and you just go through the contents. But it's in the Old Testament, and it's a very small book, but it's nestled between the book of Nahum and the book of Zephaniah. So just see if you can find that, if you can. And I just encourage you this morning, keep this book open. Keep it open. First of all, check what I'm saying. Right, the reason we often say keep your Bible open, check that I'm not making stuff up, all right? It's really important you do that. But also just encourage you, let this message speak to you this morning. Keep it open and let it speak to you. So let me just set the scene. This is about 600 years before Jesus came. And Habakkuk, as I've mentioned about our current context, Habakkuk is also in an era of complete and utter turbulence. There are nations around internationally who are rising and they are falling. There is small kingdoms like the one of Judah that he is part of. And they're caught in these power struggles where the big powerful countries are trying to overtake the little countries. And then who do we affiliate with? As a little country, do we affiliate with those guys or with those guys? And Judah's previous king was King Josiah. So if you know your Bible, in the book of Kings, you will see Josiah was a good king. He's a really good guy. He found the Bible. Right, that's what he did, actually. He found what was the Bible at the time, and he said, "Oh, why have we ignored God's word?" And so he's brought that back, and then his son comes into power. His son Jehoiakim, and he's just come into power. And this is when Habakkuk's writing. He's not writing in the time of Josiah, where he's found the law and he's established their kingdom and made it good again, but actually his son has come and undid, he's come and undone everything. He's come and undone everything that Josiah has done. And so the result now is that society nationally and internationally is just spiraling. It's just spiraling into chaos. Can you see the parallels? See the parallels with his time and our time? It's a time of confusion, a time of instability, a time of questioning. And just like us today, the question is everywhere. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? Where are you in the chaos? Where are you in the mess? Where are you in the violence? Where are you in the destruction? Where are you in the disasters? Where are you in the injustice? Where are you in the upheaval? Where are you in all this evil? Where are you, God? So let's read from verse 1. How long, Lord, good way to start, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. The book of Habakkuk is a prophetic book. It's God speaking to his people. And then we look at how it starts. It's very unusual because it's not God talking at the start, is it? It's Habakkuk. He's launching into a big old debate with God. He's like, where are you, God? How long? Why? He's coming at God. He's being really raw and he's being really real with God. And he's saying, I look around. I'm looking around and all I see is war and I see upheaval and I see chaos and I see injustice. He is saying to God, I'm baffled. I'm really baffled by this. I don't get it. If you look at verse 3, it describes him like a child who's being forced to look at something they should not be looking at. That's the language that he's using. If you look at verse 4, he's like, even the word of God doesn't work. It's looking like the law's not even working. Like, how long? That phrase, how long? He's got to the end of himself. He's got to the point where he's like, how long? This has been going on for a really, really long time. I've got limits, God. I've got limits to all this. Come on. He starts his book by saying, I need some answers. I need some reasons. I need some explanations. And so it can sometimes feel that there is a contradiction between what we know about God and what we believe about God from Bible stories, from the worship songs we were singing this morning. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Great. Amazing. But it feels like there's a contradiction to that song I'm singing and the reality that I see around me. And so if we compare it to the present reality, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. I expect many of us this morning, you can relate to Habakkuk's baffling. You might be saying, I'm baffled. I'm really baffled, God, by what's going on. Why is this person in my family really, really ill? I thought you healed. Why is that person I've been praying for not saved yet? I thought you saved. What are you doing? Why is there still war in 2024? I thought we've got past this. How long? How long, oh God? Are you even listening to my prayers? Is that you? Are you baffled that way? Are you even listening to what I'm saying, God? When is this weight that I'm carrying, the burden of my family life that I'm carrying, the weight of others that I'm carrying, when is that going to end? How long? When are you going to heal my mental health? When are you going to fix my marriage? How long am I going to struggle with money? How long, God? I don't get it. I don't know why this is happening. I'm baffled. I'm totally baffled. My first point of application is a very, very simple one and hopefully very profound for us, and yet it's beautiful. Praise God that someone in the Bible wrote the same questions that we've got. Praise God, someone who wrote a book in the Bible has got the same questions that we have. And guess what? It ain't just Habakkuk. right? You can go to the book of Job. You can go to the book of Lamentations. You can go to David in Psalm 10. You can go to Moses in Numbers 11. You can even look at Jesus' disciples. There's a lot of baffling, and you can ask a lot of questions. And I feel that some this morning, you need to know it is okay to ask God, where are you? It's okay to ask God, why? It's okay to ask God, how long? And it sounds odd, but we have permission from God to be baffled. So how do we handle our baffling? How do we handle the question, where are you, God? How do we handle all that? Habakkuk has told God, I'm baffled. And he's asked God why. Let's see what God says in verse 5 to 11. The Lord's answer, God says, look at the nations and watch. Be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I told you. This is sounding good. I'm raising up the Babylonians. Oh, what are they like? That ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling not their own. God's saying to Habakkuk, you thought it was bad? It's going to get worse. All right, this is what they're like. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. That's what they're like. And then they do this. They mock kings. They scoff rulers because they're so powerful. And they laugh at all fortified cities by building earthen ramps and capturing them. They swoop past like the wind and go on. And this is what they are like, according to God. They are guilty people whose own strength is their God. Good. Thanks, God, for that. Right, God's reply doesn't sound very reassuring. All right, where are you, God? And it is like, I hear what you're saying, but it's getting worse. Let's just slow it for a moment. Take a look at the first word God says to him in verse 5. He says, look. Look. Back in verse 3 and 4, Habakkuk has told God, God, can you see what's happening all around me? He's saying to God, look. He's saying, God, look. And why? Why is this happening? And God's response is to Habakkuk, look wider. Look wider. Look at the nations and observe. Take it in. Be utterly astounded. We can get so absorbed and so upset by what we see in our immediate context that we need to step back and we need to take in the wider horizon. We need a God perspective. What do you think this is? Shout out something. What do you think it is?
Carpet.
Everyone thinks it's a carpet. It's actually a book. It's a book. It's a book zoomed in. And sometimes it's right to zoom in. You can get the detail. You can see the fine design of the paper, the roughness of the paper. Sometimes it's right to zoom in and see the details, but other times it's right for us to zoom out. I can't read that. I can't read the story. I don't know who it's by. I can't see the front page. I can't see any other pages. That's just one page. Sometimes it's right. But when we ask, where are you, God? It's right for us to zoom out. It's right for us to get a bigger picture. When we zoom out from Habakkuk's situation, we can see his questions are answered in the grander story of the Bible. We can see how it's fulfilled, how Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Babylon, are used by God for good. We can see, you can look at other Bible stories. Go to Genesis, end of Genesis with Joseph. You can see he's put in prison. You can see his journey. It looks awful. He's favored by his dad, and then he gets sent to prison. He's thrown in a hole, sent to prison. The false accusations of him cheating with Potiphar's wife just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then at the end, Joseph said, what man planned for evil, God turned for good. When we widen our perspective, it's there. And when we come to a question like, where are you, God? We must take into account the whole of Scripture. Do you know what? The Bible isn't about you. The Bible's not about me, all right? it's not only just God and me, right? The Bible shows us that it's God and the nations. It's God and the wider world. It's God and the cosmos. It's so much broader than little old me. All right, when we see God and his word, it's not concerned with just little old me, just my salvation, just my joy, just my future, just my problems. Romans 8, God works all things together for good for those who love him. We might not believe this to be true until we step back and we see our future hope that we have as Christians. Where do you need to zoom out? Where do you need to zoom out? Is it your kids? Are your kids your whole world? Because they will one day be an adult and they might not phone you very much. Is it a role that you have even in the church or in your workplace? Because one day someone's going to replace you. They will. Or the role will become redundant and not needed. Is it your health? Is it your health? I really want to be healthy because one day you will get unwell and you will not recover. Is it your finance? I need more money, God. I can't afford this or that. I want you to realize something. If you earn £15,000 a year, you're in the top 8% of the world earners. £15,000 and you are the top 8%. That means 92% of the world are poorer than you. If you earn 50 grand, you're in the top, I think it's top 3. Widen the horizon sometimes. In verse 5, when God says to Habakkuk, look at the nations, you will be utterly amazed and won't believe it. You could read it this way, brace yourself. Right, brace yourself, you might not like this. Sometimes the zoomed out view isn't always better. Sometimes the zoomed out view from the picture is, oh, I don't actually like that author. I don't like that story. I don't like this book. Yeah, sometimes the zoomed out view is something that we don't like. For Habakkuk, verse 11, 6 to 11, we see that there's this horrible tyrannical nation taking over Judah. He's told to look out. I don't think he likes the view. I wouldn't like the view. For us, it might be our health. The idea that I've got to stay healthy and we zoom out and we go, one day we're going to die. Stats show 100% of people die. But we zoom out and we see, I don't really like that story. Even if we don't like the zoomed out view, God says to us, take heart because I'm on the case. I'm on the case. We were singing earlier, very much songs about that. Just as God says to Habakkuk, look, yeah, the Bible reminds us over and over that God is at work. God isn't asleep. God isn't going, he hasn't forgotten that he's judge of the world. He's not gone, oh, Putin, oh, I forgot about him. Oh, Hitler, nuts, I forgot to deal with him. He's not doing that. Right? He's not handling those things. He's not looking at what's happening in the Yemen and going, oh, I forgot about Yemen. Oh, I was sorting out of the UK and I forgot about Yemen. Oh, how silly. He's not doing that, right? The world may be confusing to us, but that doesn't mean that God has left it and it doesn't mean that he has abandoned it, even if we don't understand. Verse 11, he says, guilty people. He knows who the Babylonians are. Like God isn't sending the Babylonians because he thinks they might be nice and he's got it wrong. He knows who they are. He says they are guilty. He is the judge. He will deal with them. He will sort them. Right? And he knows what their ending is going to be. Even if you don't understand your situation, that doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. I think Ilis mentioned it when we were singing earlier. I just feel that for people this morning. I'm going to repeat that. If you don't understand your situation, that doesn't mean God's abandoned you. So what was Habakkuk's response? When God told him to zoom out, what's his response? Let's see. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. He knows God will not abandon him. Amen. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. It's a good start by Habakkuk. He knows who God is. He's getting it right. And then the question comes again. Why? Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish of the sea. The Babylonians, they don't treat people like humans. They treat them like fish. They treat them like they're nothing. Like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, and he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. They worship their military might. That's what they're doing. They're worshiping their military might. For by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? There's that how long question has come up again. Here is Habakkuk's action in the chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch station and station myself on the ramparts. You told me to look, God. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I can give to this complaint. People are asking him this question as well. Habakkuk's first words in verse 12, they're initially really faith-filled. He's really full of faith, but by verse 13, he's agonizing the question on his mind again. He's asking the question that was brought up earlier, how long? Why? Where are you? We are very much like this. We could do a series on the heart of God 2 weeks ago and have forgotten it already. All right? I think I preached it. Did I? I don't know if I preached the last one. I can't remember what I preached. Right? Just to clarify. Right? We can forget it. We just go, that's really great. I feel inspired, and then forget it. We can do a series on the heart of God. We can see his kindness. We can see his compassion. We can see his gentleness and his mercy. We can know all these truths, but still be asking why. Still be asking how long, God. We can still be asking, where are you, God? So how do we handle this balance, this balancing act between, I know you are like this. I know you are good and kind and faithful and compassionate. How do I handle that with what I'm looking at? How do I handle that? I'm looking at war and destruction and injustice, but you're like this, the world's like this. How do I handle that? And we handle the balance knowing this. All right, I'm about to disappoint you, I'm afraid. We might not get the answer. We might not get the answer. We need to be aware that sometimes we do not get the answer that we want. We sometimes don't even get the answer that we need, and all we can do is humbly call on God again and again and again and again nonetheless. Do you know what? Sometimes that's all we've got. Sometimes, like we sang, we need to fight on our knees. So important that the questioning we bring to God is based on who he is. We grieve political wars, we grieve violent wars, we grieve the issues of injustice, we hate what's happening to the poor, we call on God. We do all this knowing in the end who he is and what he is like. David Pryor, who's a commentator on Habakkuk, he says this, there's always been an important distinction between bitter suspicion and believing confrontation. So bitter suspicion is like a denial that refuses to believe. Oh, because the world's like this, they can't be a God. Whereas the other is a belief that refuses to deny. I know you are like this, God. Like Habakkuk in verse 12. I know you're like this, God. You are the Holy One. You're the rock. You are these. And yet this doesn't make sense to me. I pray that we will be a church that believes and refuses to deny. Habakkuk, in verse 1 of chapter 2, he positions himself like a watchman. Right? He's looking out. He's waiting. He has a belief. Right? He's saying, I know you're like this. I have a belief, and I'm refusing to deny it. Habakkuk doesn't expect some quick fix. He is playing the long game. He's looking at the bigger picture, and so are you. Are you doing this in your life? If you're a Christian, you are called to have a belief that refuses to deny. Where are you in that challenge? Where are you handling all that? Because in all honesty, it's super hard. It's really hard. It's really difficult. It's really challenging. And if I'm honest with you, calling on God and not getting answers, do you know what? It takes a heck of a lot of humility. It takes a lot of humility. Habakkuk seems to have this humility. You might be thinking, okay, Johnny, but that doesn't help. Right? That's lovely. It was all lovely. That doesn't help my situation. That doesn't help my question. So what is the answer? What is the answer to where are you, God? It is to be baffled. The answer is to be baffled. To say, I'm gonna bring this to God. I don't get this. It's okay to have questions. The answer is also to be looking. To be looking, widening our view, having a God perspective, having a bigger picture perspective. And also the answer to where are you, God, is by humbly calling on God, knowing who he is. And you can see from these points, the truth is there is no neatly packaged answer. I'm really sorry. There is no neatly packaged answer. It would be really damaging if there was, I think. If we said, oh, but it's just because of sin. Well, yes, sin does have a part to play big time, but it still doesn't give me the full pictured answer. There's no clear answer to how long, God. There's no clear answer to why, God. However, we do have this. We do have an answer to who are you, God? We do have an answer to who are you, God? And I want to be real with you. We will struggle to find the answer to where are you, God? But we must handle this well, and we can handle this by knowing that who are you, God? Being baffled by Christ. Being in awe about how Jesus experienced everything that we experienced. That God himself would do that. Looking at Christ. Looking forward to our eternal hope that we have in Christ. And being humble enough to call on Christ. Knowing Christ is enough. Christ is what we need. His Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. When we think, where are you, God? When we think, when are you gonna do this? Why is this happening? When you think, how long? Be baffled. Be baffled that Jesus faced the cross alone so that you could enjoy his Holy Spirit in your life every single day. Be baffled that Jesus handled being dealt with unjustly and had and people abused their power upon him. Be baffled that God would ask the question, why, how long, more fully than we ever will. Be baffled that God himself uttered the words, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew it greater than we ever do and ever will. He uttered, why have you forsaken me? So we can praise God and say, thank you that you will never forsake me. Be looking at situations with Jesus' goggles on. Look at the cross. Remind yourself how far God goes to deal with injustice. How far God goes to deal with sin. Look at the cross and remind yourself how far he deals with corruption and sin and death and injustice to the point where he says, I will take it on myself. I'm not going to give it to someone else. I'm going to take it on myself and deal with it. Look at the empty tomb. Look at your future. Look at where you are heading. You are not dead in the ground if you're a Christian. You are alive in Christ. The Spirit lives in you, and you have one day you're going to be with Jesus in glory where there'll be no more sin, no more tears. That's where we are heading. That's our future hope, a hope that's better than you could even imagine. Be humble, humbly call on him. Say, I am a sinner, right? Habakkuk discovered that Judah was as bad and as evil and corrupt and sinful as the Babylonians. And we need Jesus to carry that load with us. We need to say, I'm a great sinner, but thank you that you are such a great savior. That's our call. That's our response. We need to be aware that Christ was humble. He took all injustice. He didn't deserve anything that he got. He didn't even deserve to be a human being. All right? He was come from glory down. If you talk about injustice, right, God himself coming down, that is probably the most unjust thing ever to happen. But then we put him on a cross and we kill him and he dies for our sake so that he can say, justice is dealt with. Justice is done. That's who he is. That's what he has done. So where are you, God? We replace that with who are you, God? We replace it by being baffled. It's okay to be baffled and ask questions, but we must have Jesus in our sights. It's okay to be looking at the bigger picture and not like it, but let's have Christ in our sights. It's okay to call on God again and again, but let's be humble enough to say, Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner. I've fallen short. So we're not going to get the band up to do this moment. I want us to take communion together. This is a moment where we're going to remember Jesus. We're going to remember injustice dealt with on the cross. We're going to remember what he has done. We're going to look at the cross. We're going to praise God for our eternal future. And we're going to humbly call on him saying, God, I need you. This is for Christians in the room. So if you're a Christian, let's all stand up. And what we're going to do, this is a holy moment still. But let's head to the tables. There's some gluten-free is on the tables as well. But head to the table now while I'm talking. You can head there and listen while I'm talking. Head to the table. Get some bread. Get some wine. Fruit juice it is. And then bring it back to your seat. Bring it back with you. Don't have it there. Bring it back with you. And I'm going to read a psalm to us. I'm going to read it and let it bless our souls. Let's all stand. Actually, all I'm saying, let's all stand. I'm just reflecting on that in my mind. Let's come in a place of worship. So if you are more comfortable sitting, sit. If you need to get on your knees, get on your knees. I'm not bothered how you come to God this morning. He is. He wants your heart. But as you come, I'm going to read Psalm 23. And as I read Psalm 23, I want you to take communion at a point where you feel this is the thing I need to reflect on with God. So you can take it after I've read the whole thing. You can take it right at the start. It doesn't matter when you take it, but just let the Bible speak for itself and let it resonate in you. It says this, the Lord, this is who he is, my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. What about sin and death and injustice and all that I see in the world? It says this, even though I walk through the valley of the darkest of evil, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they are such a comfort to me. Here's the bigger picture. Here's the communion moment. You prepare a table before me. It's our future hope. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, because God has saved me, because I have his spirit living in me, even when I don't understand it all, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And this is our celebration. This is what we remember. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. God, we come humbly. We come and say, we are great sinners, but you are a great Savior. We come looking at your cross. We come looking at it, and then we also look at the stone next to it, which is rolled away. That not only have you dealt with the injustice in this world, that you will make it all beautiful somehow in future. You will transform this world to something even more beautiful than we could ever imagine. And Lord, we remember and we are baffled that you would give your life for us. We are so baffled by it. We're so baffled that you would do that for us. That the God of the universe would do the most unjust thing that we could imagine. That you would say that the criminal goes free and you will take his place. It's just nuts. Will you baffle us with your gospel? Will you baffle us with yourself? We look to you, King Jesus, and we say, you are what we need. We remember you as we take communion. We remember you. You are worthy of it all.